Guys, we have one story left tonight. I mentioned I went to high school with Dan. I also went to high school with this lady, and boy, it is a real treat to do this project with her now. When I saw the organization that she was working for, I was like, oh my God, Kate, this is awesome. I want to do something with you so bad. So again, please drop some money in the guitar case on your way out. That would be great. And please give a big round of applause to, from Sit, Stay, Read, Kate McIlvain.
So actually, this is the story of the best person I ever met. And she's not only the best person I ever met, she's my best friend in the truest sense. We've known each other for almost 9 years, and we're pretty much inseparable. She's the Kimmy Gibbler to my DJ Tanner. She's the Samantha to my Carrie. And it fits that she'd be the Samantha. She's way more worldly than me, she's lived in more places, and she's definitely had more lovers than me. Plus, I wear more adventurous outfits than she does, so that obviously makes me Carrie. She's the Scully to my Mulder, and I'm definitely Mulder here since I'm taller and nerdier than she is, and her hair is redder than mine, and I look better in aviator sunglasses. So, yeah. But what I've been thinking about a lot lately is when I think of us is how she's sort of the E.T. to my Elliot. Now, those of you who know me may be confused by this analogy, since you know that I spent all of my childhood, quite a bit of my adolescence, and, okay, all of my adolescence and quite a bit of my adulthood being terrified of E.T. And when I say terrified, I mean throw myself onto my bed screaming, Mommy, Mommy, save me, at the sight of E.T. on Telemundo at age 6. I mean, hide under your mom's shirt, like my actual head forced under the back of her actual shirt, like a turtle trying to make its way into another turtle's shell through the butt side of the first turtle shell. For the entire 127-minute line for the E.T. ride at Universal Studios, followed by nothing but a constant stream of tears during the 127 seconds of the actual ride. At age 8, straight up terrified of E.T. But now that I'm sappy, nerdy, and old, all I see in that classic Spielbergian masterpiece, besides Elliot's insanely cool wardrobe, where can I find a red hoodie that will fit me like that, is the beautiful bond between Elliot and E.T. They are a perfect pair and complement each other in every way. They're so deeply connected that after E.T. gets captured by the government, I think that's what happens. Full disclosure here, I don't think I've ever actually seen the whole thing from start to finish, really only kind of pieces here and there. And I know I never listened to the entire Golden Book audiobook on record, read by Michael Jackson. Yep, that is a real thing we had in my house. I wish we still had it. I have no idea where it is. All the way through. In fits of childhood masochism, I listened to it often, hiding behind my couch with the record player and the accompanying Golden Book. But I could never get past, oh, I don't know, the first 8 sentences or so, because hearing Michael Jackson read that book to me was creepy as fuck. Anyway. They're so deeply connected that after E.T. gets captured by the government, I think, and gets all shrivelly, pasty sick from being in captivity, right, Elliot starts to get sick too. What happens to the one happens to the other, and that's how we are. If I'm sick, she's sick. If she's sad, I'm sad. And our hearts most definitely light up when we're together. I've even gone so far as to start scouring the internet for the perfect picture of E.T. and Elliot that I can use to superimpose our likenesses onto their faces. This should be possible enough, and once that amazing piece of art exists, I'm framing it and hanging it. My best friend is incredibly wise, and I really admire the way she's able to choose what works for her and go with it. She doesn't waste a lot of time waffling, but she does love waffles. And she never dwells or holds a grudge because she's a lot cooler and more mature than me. We talk every day, every second that we're together, or at least I talk to her constantly. To be honest, she does most of the listening because she knows that's what I need. The thing is, I spend a lot of my days at work listening to other people say things and trying to act like I know what I'm doing and what I should say back to them while still sounding assured, authoritative, and friendly. You can get by on those 3 things alone for a long time. 7 years, as it turns out. I just had my work anniversary a couple days ago. On one hand, 12 hours of that three-ring circus is exhausting for me, and I don't want to do anything but take a bath and watch Poirot on Netflix when I get home, which is awesome, and you should watch it if you haven't. But on the other hand, at the end of the day, I feel like I have a whole day's worth of my own crap to get off my chest, and she's always willing to hear what I have to say. I have more selfies on my phone of us together than I do with anyone else, and that's saying a lot considering I have a boyfriend of 14 years. I took 37 selfies of us together in the last week alone. That's true. Actually, and obviously, the person of the story of the best person I ever met is, of course, the story of my dog, Lucy. The goose, gooser, gator, gooser, gator, bear, goose girl, Lucy T, Lucy Papoosey, goose dog, Lucy T. Tenderfoot Pendergrass McIlvain, that's her full name, obviously. The list goes on forever, for real. She mostly calls me Mom, or sometimes Kate, or when talking to Dan, your girlfriend, as in, Dan, when are you going to kick your girlfriend out so we can finally get married? We're pretty sure she's secretly waiting for Dan to break up so they can be together forever. And yes, she does have kind of a weird quasi-Southern accent. The goose is deep. Sometimes, out of nowhere, she'll ask us something like, guys, what is reality? Or, how much did I cost? Or, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? Or sometimes I'll find her sitting quietly and looking off into the distance, thinking. Like really thinking about something real. Honestly, it's a little unnerving. As someone who was badly mistreated before we met her, the gator keeps a very small, very close circle of friends. Me, Dan, my sister, before she got pregnant with my nephew Owen. After that, it was never the same between them. So weird. She knew right away. And a very, very select group of people who can watch her if we go on vacation without her. If you can call it vacation when Lucy's not there. Which, in my opinion, you cannot. And by a very select group of people for that, I mean one person. Literally, there's one person. When people talk about dogs, they talk about unconditional love. I've heard that before, and I've agreed before that the beautiful thing about humans and dogs is unconditional love. The more I think of it, though, my dog's love for me is totally conditional. The conditions are few and clear and simple, but they are there. Lucy allows me to be her best friend under the conditions that I will care for her health and well-being, that I will never raise my voice or my hand to her, that I'll be silly and snuggly every day, which I am, that I will always make room for her in my bed, or maybe it's more like she's making room for me, that I will talk softly to her, that I will love, honor, and cherish her all the days of my life. I think that's supposed to be about dogs, right? In return, she listens to me talk for what I'm sure feels like an eternity to her. I'm pretty sure that every one human minute is equivalent to 27 dog minutes. She keeps me warm at night. She licks my face when I cry. She also licks my underwear that I leave on the bathroom floor when I'm in the shower. If I close the door all the way before she comes into the bathroom, she'll paw at the door until I get out of the shower to open it. Then she makes a weird little clothes nest and gets to work. It's so gross and so weird. Do your dogs do this? Please nod your heads yes. Now, for the podcast, everyone's nodding. It's not just me and it's not weird. Either way, she's just there. It's too much for me to think about how someday she really won't be there or anywhere anymore. It is awful for me to think about how there is a series of some of the saddest moments in my life coming up wherein I'll have to say goodbye to my goose girl. I imagine it like the end of E.T. when he says to Elliot, come. And Elliot says, stay. And they both know that neither is possible. They hug for an eternity. And I love how Steven Spielberg lets that play out for a long time. I wish more movies took their time like that, because that's how long you would really hug a friend in real life that you knew you would never see again. They lose me a little bit, though. In the next line, E.T. points to Elliot's head and says, "I'll be right here." But we all know that's not where your best friend will be when you need them again. When Lucy and I say goodbye for the last time, she won't be pointing to my head. She'll be resting her paw on my heart. And I know that's where I'll always find her. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate McElwain. Oh, man. That made me all emotional. And so I'm going to class it down with a terrible joke. You guys think Michael Jackson reads like he sings?
Yes.
Like, and then Elliot phoned home. Da! That, by the way, I used to think like he was the best Michael Jackson vocal tick, but in like last year I realized da is really the king. Trust me on this. It is the